This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I don't think I'm going into work tomorrow unless, well, no, I'm not going into work tomorrow, period. Because it's International Cat Day tomorrow, so yeah. So I'm not going in, period. Anyways, so I've, you know, if they need something, I'll just dial in remotely. In the olden days, I used to go in. But with the whole coronavirus thing, you know what? I try to be a little limited in how many places I go, simply because less exposure is better. Anyways, so all is well. It is episode 593, I think, on our way to 600. All is well. All is well. We have a new renter in the Rock House. Our music ministers who were out there living with us for a while. That was wonderful. That was just wondrous. It was wondrous. It was wondrous. Their kids play with the grandkids all the time, and we had the glorious sound of laughter outside. Sometimes other things than the glorious sound of laughter, but that's okay. You know, kids, when kids are playing, sometimes things get grumpy. But that's all right. That's all right. It was good. It was just lovely having them out there. So they have purchased a house now, and they have gotten moved into that. They're in the process of figuring out all the things they need to figure out there. So the house hadn't been lived in for a couple of years. Because the owner of the house had gone into a retirement center. So it was time. And so, you know, it was a good deal for them, for the music ministers of our church. And so that's good. I'm really happy for them. And we have a new renter now in the Rock House. Fine young man who's a single dad who's raising a little kiddo by himself. So it'll be interesting to see what this adventure brings. And it seems like he's very excited to be out there, and you know, it's very peaceful out there, so he's getting all settled in. In fact, I need to just check in with him, if not tonight, tomorrow, and see how everything's going. Anyway, so that's good. Writing is going fine. I'm at 137,000 words, I think. I try to go to about 150, so I'm closing in. I don't have that many more chapters to go. I'm just trying to figure out what the last few chapters are. I think I know where I'm going. I think with the epilogue, we're going to give it a try. See where that goes. So, you know, all is well. Moseying along there. It is International Cat Day tomorrow. Part one, because I was in a small dispute with my son-in-law as to who the most famous cat was in the world. And in fact, there were two contenders that I hadn't even considered. One was Hello Kitty, which is a pretty famous cat. And the other is Garfield, which is a pretty famous cat. So it wasn't those two. But my son-in-law and I were having a little discussion as to what was the most famous cat in the world. This was way back in March. And he insisted one thing and I insisted another. And so I'm doing mine tomorrow. And we're going to do his. Because I think he was just joking. I think he thought that I wouldn't actually go to Walmart dressed as his suggestion. I think he was just needling me. But you know, when he said it, and he said it again, I thought, I can do that. And I think it will make people laugh, which is the criteria. I will just do about anything if it's not too highly offensive, and it will make people laugh. So we're doing it. Anyway, so it should be fun. So that's all good. Work is good. Got a lot of good stuff done today. I am on the downside at this point. I stopped off at church to help get the video screens going for Sunday. Couldn't quite get everything done because we had some pieces of information that we were still missing. But I'm going to try to get in a little bit early on Sunday and we'll get those done. So I am on the downside, as usual, of a almost 2-day fast. This is going to be 46 hours. I think in about 5 minutes it'll be 46 hours worth. So, you know, it's fine. It's just when I get to this point, I really have to think about my words, which is fine. Supposedly this is good for me. We'll see. I have a buddy at work who has resigned. His name's John Beam. And he is going to be traveling with his wife, which is cool. It's very cool. He's actually younger than I am. But their finances are such that they obviously are able to do this. And they're starting a new adventure. And they've gotten themselves an RV. And, you know, they're going to travel around. And all of that's good. So that's going to reshuffle things a little bit for us at my major client. But you know what? Everything will be fine. It will just be fine because Jesus is with us. So it'll be fine. We were talking one day, though. John is really a healthy guy and, you know, is tracking. And he said, yeah, he said, that fasting stuff, he said, I think that's going to be really good for you. And I said, well, we'll see. Because for some of these things, you just have no idea until you get 5-6 years into it. So either I'm killing myself or it's going to be really good for me. I don't know that the effect will be non-measurable. Everything that I've read, intermittent fasting, extended fasting, it theoretically extends lifespan and health span. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, so it's fine. All is well. I did come across an article that was pretty interesting. There was a big survey. I was looking at some of the articles on Pocket. I don't know if any of you are out on Pocket. I have some friends who are out on Pocket, and often they see articles and think, I wonder if Phil's going to talk about that. And then I do. So this is another one of those articles. You can see it at getpocket.com. Getpocket.com. They have a lot of interesting articles out there. And one of them that I came across, by the way, Mozilla Firefox, on their splash page that comes up, they feature articles from Pocket, getpocket.com. And this came up, obviously, as part of that. And it's, the title of the article was a little deceptive, but hey, you know, it's all clickbait. The title of the article was, "Atheists Are Sometimes More Religious Than Christians." And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Apparently there was a survey that was done, and the subtitle of the article was, "Survey Shows How Poorly We Understand the Beliefs of People Who Identify as Atheist, Agnostic, or Nothing in Particular." In particular, I'm interested in this survey because I think potentially there is an opening here that may be good news for us. I understand right now in America there's a lot of things that are shaking. We've had multiple weeks here where lots of riots, lots of, you know, things going on in the big cities, and wondering where are we, what's happening to our country. But there's potentially a piece of good news here. So, according to this article, Americans are a deeply religious people, and atheists are no exception. Western Europeans are deeply secular, and Christians are no exception. These twin statements are generalizations, but they capture the essence of a fascinating new finding in a Pew Research study about Christian identity in Western Europe by surveying almost 25,000 people in 15 countries in that region and comparing the results with data previously gathered in the United States, the Pew Center discovered three things. First, researchers confirmed the widely known fact that overall, Americans are much more religious than Western Europeans. They gauged religious commitment by using standard questions, including, do you believe in God with absolute certainty? Do you pray daily? So the first thing they confirmed was that Americans are more religious than Western Europeans. Second thing was that researchers found that American nuns, in quotes, nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S, those who identify as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, are more religious than European nuns. The notion that religiously unaffiliated people can be religious at all may seem contradictory. But if you disaffiliate from organized religion, it does not necessarily mean that you've sworn off belief in God or prayer. The third finding reported in the study is that by far the most striking. One moment, let me get parked in my garage here. As it turns out, religious nuns in America are as religious or even more religious than Christians in several European countries, including France, Germany, and the UK. That was a surprise, the lead researcher said on the study. Quote, "That's the comparison that's fascinating to me." This lead researcher pointed out the fact that whereas only 23% of European Christians say they believe God with absolute certainty, 27% of American nuns say this. Back to the article, America is a country so suffused with faith that religious attributes abound even among the secular. Consider the rise of atheist churches, which cater to Americans who have lost faith in supernatural deities but still crave community. They enjoy singing with others, and they want to think deeply about morality. It's religion minus all the God stuff. This is a phenomenon spreading across the country, from Seattle Atheist Church to North Texas Church of Free Thought. The Oasis Network, which brings together non-believers to sing and learn every Sunday morning, has affiliates in 9 U.S. cities. In April 2018, almost 1,000 people streamed into a church in San Francisco for an unprecedented event billed as a Beyoncé Mass. Most were people of color and members of the LGBTQ community. Many were secular. They use Queen Bey's songs, which are replete with religious symbolism, as the basis for a communal celebration, one that had all the trappings of a religious service. That seemed completely fitting to some, including one reverend who said, quote, "Beyoncé is a better theologian than many of the pastors and priests in our church today," close quote. And this goes on and talks about the different numbers and et cetera, et cetera. And it's all very interesting. But I'm already to the point where I could get something to eat. So I may just skip over some of this stuff. But one of the things that is fascinating to me about this and is hopeful about this is that when you completely take a concept of morality, any concept of spirituality out of a culture, what's left is mere pragmatism. And I think what's left can very quickly descend into things like majority rules, tyranny by the majority. And there is obviously right now some question in our country where we are going to end up. We are very polarized. And the presidential election, for one thing, is a fascinating thing to watch. When you look at the candidates we have for the presidential election, talk about polarizing individuals. When you look at the riots in the cities and you look at the responses, the polarizing responses to the riots, where some people are saying, we just need to get in there and shut those people down. And you've got other people that seem to be saying, well, you know, they're just trying to express their own opinions, even though there's, you know, destroying businesses and burning stuff. There doesn't seem to be much hope there that we can hold ourselves together as a country when there seems to be such polarization. But I consider the fact that there is an undergirding of spirituality, there is an undergirding of the belief in the need for a morality. I consider that fact to be really important. And the fact that America still, on the surveys, has components of spirituality to its people is very encouraging to me. Because spirituality, morality, typically encompasses the idea of treating others as you wish to be treated, loving your neighbor as yourself. And that's really the key to holding a society together. You have got to have that core, fundamental, I'm going to treat people as I wish to be treated. And frankly, I don't think you get that any other way, or you can actualize that in any other way without believing that there is something more. Because strict materialism, and the belief that there is nothing beyond this, that this is it, you just descend into a kind of a dog-eat-dog existence where everything is just a zero-sum game, where everyone is just trying to get as much as they can for themselves. But where there is a component of morality, where there is a component and a recognition that there are needs of others that I should respect as well, that at least gives you a start and a fighting chance of getting to we all, as opposed to us versus them. So I find it very encouraging that atheists in this country are actually more religious than Christians in Europe. In Western Europe. I mean, that's kind of a sad thing that Christians in Western Europe have moved beyond that. It's so sad that people found such a lack of efficacy in the Christian belief system that there apparently is such a lack of a day-to-day relationship with Jesus that people find no value in it in Europe. That's really, really sad. But, you know, maybe there is some encouragement here. Because if the American people can hold on to some idea of morality, to some idea that there are things that are greater than themselves, you know, we'll get through this. And I think we're already starting to see some of that. I think we're already starting to see people that are raising their hands and saying, hey, come on, enough. This is not getting us where we need to be. And there's enough people now that are starting to push back and to say, this is not right. So I am encouraged at this point, and this article encourages me more. And again, as I have said in the past, I truly believe that this is the church's moment and that what we need to do right now is show people love. Find ways to show love to the people that we encounter, to be kind, to be generous, to be gentle and merciful. I think we need to keep from getting sucked into political discussions. And we just need to express God's love and kindness. Because I think that's going to do a whole lot more to pull this country back together than arguing over who we should vote for come the fall. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.